Right. I want to discuss a topic that's not really found in the Shulchan Aruch, which is the topic of names, features prominently in this week's parasha, and of course at the beginning of Sefer Shmos as well. But really throughout the Chumash and Tanakh, there's a great significance that's attributed to names. But as we'll see, even the fact that it's not doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, we'll have to understand why it doesn't, does not diminish from its significance and importance, and therefore it's important to understand really what it signifies and what it represents, and perhaps we'll explain why it doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, but at the same time, it doesn't diminish its significance. So in this week's parasha of Vayetze, of course, most of the Shvatim receive their names, and there's the first one to call them by their names is Leah. She seems to be, Leah, then of course Bilhah, Zilpah, Rachel, but each one, the imahos, it gets to give their names to their children and of their respective shvachos. So it sounds like the rights to give the name is attributed to the mother. However, in Parashas Vayeshev, in connection with Yehuda, the pasuk says, "V'tara oid b'teilei bein v'toymer ata hapam." I'm sorry. V'tara b'teilei bein v'yukra shemoy er, that Yehuda called his son Er. And then the second time it was his wife who got the rights to name the child. So the Daz Akedmi Baal Tosfos comments, did you see from here, that the father was entitled to name his first child, and then it was the mother that was entitled to name the second child, and then they would switch back and forth for all subsequent children. So Daz Akedmi Baal Tosfos derives from here that in fact it's the father who has the rights to name his first child. And Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests, name was Yaakov, that in fact, there really is no contradiction to this week's parsha either, because there is one of the Shvatim that that Yaakov himself does name, and not the mother, not Leah or Rachel. Anybody know which one? No, well, that's later on, but that's after the death of Rachel. But which one of the Shvatim in this week's parsha does Yaakov even name? Is Levi? Because even though the pasuk says that Leah called him Levi, hapami lave yishi Eli, that she was hoping that her husband would now, but that's why she named him Levi, because she hoped that he would accompany her. But the pasuk says Vayikra Shemai Levi, that his name was called Levi, but it's of course in the masculine, not in the feminine, which indicates that Yaakov was the one to give him that name. So Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests that perhaps it's the Bechor in particular, the first son that the father's entitled to name the child, because that son will carry on his mission and his tafkid in life. So therefore, the father has a greater affinity towards the Bechor, and therefore he's entitled to name the Bechor as opposed to the subsequent children, that perhaps the mother is a greater, is more in tune to figure out what would be the nature of the child and provide the child with an appropriate name. But of course, who would take over the leadership role of Yaakov Avinu in serving the Ribbono Shel Olam? So Yaakov Avinu knew it would be Levi. So therefore, instead of calling the first child, instead of being entitled to name the first child, Yaakov Avinu passed on that rise to the third child. Because the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Kachom Malach Gimel, that already in their lifetime, Yaakov Avinu identified that Sheva Levi would be the one to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why he named him Levi, because the Pasuk says in Parashas Kairach, V'yulavu Alecha V'sharsucha, he will accompany you and serve you in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning help Klal Yisrael serve the Ribbono Shel Olam by performing the Karbonos. So Yaakov Avinu is the one who named Levi, because he was the one who was going to carry on his mission. So Yaakov suggests that perhaps the father has the right to name the first child, because the Bechor has a greater relationship with the father, and in that, he's going to carry on his tafkid, and therefore Levi also served in that place as a Bechor, even though it wasn't the first one that was born, because Yaakov already identified that the third child, Levi, would be the one to carry on his mission. This, though, this is the practice in Sephardic communities, is that the rights to name the first child is granted to the father's side of the family, and then the mother's side of the family is second, and then they go back and forth, all subsequent children. So much so that the Ben Ish Chai writes in comments on Parsha Shoiftim, only something, you have to be the Ben Ish Chai or, someone like that to say these things, that Aaron's two children, Nadav and Avihu, died because they violated this protocol. Nadav was named after Aaron's wife's side of the family, because his wife's name was Elisheva, who was the daughter of Aminadav. And what was Aaron's first child's name? Was Nadav, after Aminadav. And the second child was Avihu, named obviously after the father, Avihu, after Aaron's side of the family, named after Amram. So they violated the protocol. The mother's side of the family got the first child, the father's side of the family got the second child, so therefore, says the Ben Ish Chai, they perished. They weren't able to be successful. Okay, be that as it may. The Svarish Minig, Rabbi Vadi writes in the Abiyah Omer, should follow the precedent of the Dazi Kenmi by Rabbi Tosis based on the Psukim and Parshas Vayeshev, that Yehuda named his first son and his wife named the second child. However, Ashkenazim, Rabbi Moshe writes in the Gris Moshe, have the practice of giving the wife's side of the family precedence, at least when it comes to the first child. And this could be, you know, and that's what's implied, by the way, over here in Parshas Vayetze. In fact, it's Leah and Rachel who are naming all of the children. So that seems to imply that it's the wife's side of the family who gets precedence, certainly before the husband's side. And there are many reasons which are suggested. You know, the wife is the one who goes through the tzar leida, the difficulty of giving birth to the child is not something that should be understated. And many times it was the wife's side of the family that played for the lion's share of the wedding, or perhaps it would support the couple when they first got married to a greater degree than the husband's side of the family. Nowadays, right, the standards of expectations have changed. But that was a traditional model, and therefore, traditionally, perhaps the name was the rights to name the child were given first to the wife's side of the family. But either way, there's some you know unique theme within all of these names that are found, at least in this week's parsha, but really throughout all of Chumash, is that the names contain all of Leah and Rachel's names contain their emotional outlook on their relationship with Yaakov Avinu and their hopes and dreams to become the Imahos of Klal Yisrael. So it's embedded with deep significance in terms of their own life. But of course, their names also allude to what is their ultimate tafkid of that unique individual child and what will ultimately be their mission and contribution later on in life, right? Chava is called Chava, as the pasuk says in Parashat Bereishis, ki hi ha'isa im kochai. She would be the mother of all living things. So that alluded to her ultimate contribution. And Peleg is named Peleg, the pasuk says, because b'yam av niflaga ha'aretz, the world became dispersed. Avram's name is Avraham, Avhamon Goyim, Yehuda is Yehuda, Hapam Odes Hashem, not only because Leah first gave Hakaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that she received more than her fair share, but also is because Yehuda would be the one to be Modeh, right, to admit his mistakes in his relationship with Tamar, and later on he would have a child named David who would compose Pirkei Tehillim, which give Hodah, praise to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So certainly, these names allude to ultimately their mission and what would foreshadow to their ultimate contribution. That's why the Zohar HaKadosh says also, Yirmiyahu is the one Navi who laments, who has all of the keenness about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's when he lived. Already contained within his name, says the Zohar, is Mar, bitter, or the Arimon, which means destruction and laid to waste, because it was in his times that the Beis HaMikdash became an Arimon, or it was a time of great bitterness when there was an elevation of the Midas HaDin. Yishayahu is the one who prophesied about the Geula HaSida, and all the Haftaris that talk about the Yeshua, Lasid Levo, all found the Sefer Yishaya, and that's already alluded to in his name, says the Zohar HaKadosh, which is based, of course, on the word, a derivative of Yeshua, of salvation. So this all it seems to support the notion that the names that are found in Tanakh, correspond to a person's core mission in life, or allude, foreshadow to what will be his descendants' ultimate contribution. It's not surprising. Chidush HaRim writes over here in his comments on Parshas Bereishis, when Adam HaRishon called Chava Chava, that Kikriya Shem Hu Hashem HaPnimiyah Shabadavar, it represents the essence of each item. Shabadavar B'Shem Asma Merumas HaPnimiyah. Everybody's name represents their essence. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov adds, neshama, of course, is the primary part of a person's existence. He has a physical existence, a spiritual existence. The neshama is the essence of himself. And what is the core of neshama? Nun, shin, mem, and hey is the letter shin and mem. Shame. The shame is the core of our essence, represents the core mission that we have in life. That's why many of the practice is quoted by the Shlach HaKadosh, the Reish Chachma, early Sefer Kabbalah, that have a practice is printed in many Sidurim to say after a person has done the Shemona Esrei, Psukim corresponding to his name, either beginning and ending with the same letters as his name or contains the name itself. Why? Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that if a person forgets his name, he's not able to enter into Gan Eden, he will languish forever in Gehenim. What does that mean if you forget your name? Like, they're going to ask you, Nasatav, Nasatav, Be'amuna, Sakta, Pirvi, Rivya, the Gemara says in Shabbos, and Tzipisli, Yeshua, and they'll also ask you, what's your name? It's not a memory game. The whole purpose is because your name represents your essence, your core mission. Did you forget your mission in life or not? And that's all alluded to in a person's name. So that's why there are people who say, I have a minig, many have a minig, of saying a pasuk in the Dom Shmona Esrei corresponding to their name, because if you don't remember your name, you can't get into Gan Eden, meaning if you don't fulfill your core mission, obviously it's not just a skula, but if you don't remember your core mission in life, person doesn't fulfill his tafkid, then he won't be able to get into Gan Eden, and all of that is represented by a person's name, which of course gives greater significance to the fact that when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, we were redeemed, as the Medrash says, we'll get to in a second, because they didn't change their names. Of course, it wasn't just, that in and of itself, but that represented the fact they didn't forget about what their core mission in life was to not blend in with Egyptian society, but to retain their Jewish identity and fulfill that role in Tafkid within the world. So in Tanakh, all the names are different. We never find names that are repeated, right? And they're all original. And they all correspond and seem to allude some way or another, whether we know about it or we don't really know about it, whether we figured it out or not, or whether we're told about it or not, seem to allude to that person's personality and foreshadow to what ultimately will be their contribution later on to the Jewish people. That's why we don't find names that are repeated. All of a sudden now we get to the Gemara and we have names that are repeated. Shimon, right? Eliezer, we have names that are repeated all the time. And then there are many Rabbi Eliezers and Rabbi Shmuel's, Rabbi Gamaliel's, and certainly in our times, right, the names are it's encouraged to repeat names and to name after great tzaddikim and parents who we hope to emulate. So where did that come from? So the Medrash explains, over here, Oishei, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Oymer HaRishonim, meaning before Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, obviously, right? Since they had access to Ruach HaKodesh, they were able to give names that corresponded to that person's personality and to their unique contribution. We don't have that kind of Ruach HaKodesh to know what ultimately will be of this person, and therefore we give names that are based on tzaddikim or based on parents and grandparents, relatives who are models that we hope to emulate. When we give a name that's based on that individual, obviously we're hoping that the child has some relationship with that great tzaddik or parent and takes on some of their qualities, which we'll get to in a second. But does it bring any benefit to the niftar either? Right? Do you find families fighting over this? I need someone to be named for my parent. Does it do anything for the parent, or is it only a benefit to the child? So Chaim Kanievsky brings a proof from the Gemara Maseches Ma'id Katan that in fact it has a benefit to the parent as well, because the Gemara says over here Chavheh Mebezo Chanin Chasne Debe Nesia Hava. Reb Chanin, who was leader within the Jewish community, died without. I'm sorry, didn't have any children. So boy Rachmi v'Havale. See, davened, and he was able to have a child. But Ahu Yomid Havale Nach Nafshe. And that day that the child was born, he died. Nembuch, tragic. So Asikolei Chanan Al Shmei. So they called the child Chanan after the father. So you see from the Gemara that seems to be some benefit to the father, even though he's no longer here to enjoy the child directly, but at least somewhat indirectly, he'll be able to enjoy some nachas from this child and the fact that by virtue of the fact that he's named after him. So you see, it is a benefit not only to the child, but it's also a benefit to the parent as well. But what kind of benefit is it to the child? So look over here. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Dav Zayin Mebeis, at the end of the first line, Minogon Deshmogarim. How do we know that a name is Gorim? Causes something, meaning affects a person. Amar b'gazad amar kra, l'chu mefalos Hashem, asher sam shamois baretz. Look at the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who brought destruction to the world and punishing Rishayim. The world is shamos, but al tikri shamois, ela shemois. Don't read it destruction, but rather names. HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted names in this world, and the name affects the person. And for that reason, the Gemara says, in Yuma daf pegimu v'beiz, Reb Meir habidayik b'shma. Reb Meir would infer from a person's name as to the nature of his character. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yaisi, lo havidayik b'shma. That's interesting also. He would infer from their names. Reb Yehuda and Reb Yaisi did not. What did they disagree about? I have to figure that out. So kibat hu dukta bo ishbizi. They both came to a inn. Yahavilahu, the man introduced himself. Amalahu mashamecha. What's your name? Amalahu Kidar. Name is Kidar. Oh, yeah. Amar shma mina adam mashahu. You see, Nebuch, this person is an evildoer. How do they know that? Because the Pasuk says in Parashat Sazinu, Kidar tapuchos hema. It was a wayward generation full of immorality. So Kidar tapuchos hema was an upside-down generation. This individual's name was Kidar. Oy. Must be. He was a Rasha. That was the inference that Reb Meir drew. So you see that a name, of course, attributes, has significance in terms of determining the nature of the child. But what is the nature of that relationship? One can understand it in really two ways. You can understand it as a siba. Siba meaning a reason. Meaning, when you give this child a name, that encourages or that influences the child to take on certain qualities and personality traits and will determine the nature of the child. But it's the name that determines the nature of the child or the person. Or one can understand it differently, that the name is significant not because it will change the nature of the child, but the name that is given somehow will reflect who the child really is. What does it mean, shmagarim? So certainly the language of the Gemara implies, you know, in that case it's more of a simon, a recognition of who the child always was, as opposed to influencing the child to be something else. So the Gemara itself seems to imply that it's a to use the Yeshivish language, right, it's a siba. And that is, the name causes, brings about, influences, pushes the child in a certain direction. And that's the implication of the Medrash Tanchuma here in Parashat Hazino. Be careful in the names that you give, and give a name that will encourage a child to be a tzaddik. Sometimes a name can encourage a person to be a good person or a bad person. And the Medrash goes on to claim that in fact the Meraglim only spoke negatively about Eretz Yisrael because of their names. It influenced them negatively. And it goes through all of the Meraglim, demonstrating how there's negative overtones to their names. We're not going to go through all 12. But the Medrash says, Shamua ben Zakur, al shalo shama b'divrei al-makom. He wasn't interested in listening to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now, one could have interpreted that just the opposite, right? He was interested in listening to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But obviously, the Medrash understood it was because his name gave him the opportunity to not listen to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and to speak negatively about Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like the name is what influenced them negatively, and therefore you should be careful in the kinds of names that you give. The Sefer Chassidim says a similar thing. The name can influence a person to be a bad person, a good person. Some people whose names encourage them to achieve greatness. But there are sometimes that it does just the opposite. Therefore, a person should daven. When we do name someone after somebody, and of course everyone has positive qualities and negative qualities, we should daven. They should only acquire the positive qualities of the person we're naming after. But you see that the name itself is what influences the child to take on certain, or the person to take on certain qualities of the person who's being named after. The shma garam, the name is what caused it. Some Sefer goes so far as to say, in his comments on Parashas Korach, that why is it that Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he was given an unfortunate name. Who was first Korach before Korach? Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi. Anyone know who was first Korach? The next week's Parashah, 2 weeks Parashah, Parashah Vayishlach, one of the Alufei Esav. His name was Korach. Eichewald. What kind of, how could Yitzhar give his child the name Korach? It's like giving a child today the name Nimrod. Terrible. How do you give a name Nimrod? Someone told me, I don't believe it, but the guy, it's a popular name now. So the guy was giving, this was, you know, at the beginning when Nimrod was coming on the scene, so he gave the name Nimrod. So the mayor said back, he said, what, Hitler wasn't available? They have to give Nimrod. It's terrible. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, so the Chassam Sefer claims that that's why Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. What kind of name did he start off with? A Korach. That was one of the Alufei Esav. Says the B'nai Yisrael something astounding in his comments on Chodesh Nisan. He says, Paro changed Yosef's name to Tzofnas Paneach. Doesn't stick, though. The very next pasuk, Yosef goes back. He's Yosef. Tzofnas Paneach. Why did Paro give him the name and it doesn't stick? So B'nai Yisrael says, because he was trying to control him. If I name you, I control you like a pet. You give your pet your name. You can name your pet whatever you want because you control the destiny of the pet. Of course, it doesn't entitle you to be mean to the pets, right? But you control the destiny and the identity of the pet. The name itself defines you. So Paro tried to name Yosef. In fact, when it also goes on, this is unbelievable, but all of the names, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky notices this in the Emes LeYaakov, of course, much after the Bnei Saskar, that all the names that we find in Mitzrayim all share common consonants. You have Pei, Resh, and Ayin, Shifra, Pua, Ephraim, Potiphar, Paro. So B'nai Yisrael Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky claims that these were just common consonants in Egyptian culture. However, the Bnei Sasser goes even further. Bnei Sasser says, no, this was Paro's name. That was the name of the Egyptian leader. Paro wanted to control the whole society, like North Korea, where everyone has to have the same haircut. So he wanted to control the society, so he gave everyone names that were similar to his own. Because if I name you, I control you. Because the name is Goyrim. The name produces a certain result. That's one perspective here, that the shame is Goyrim. Yeah. There's another perspective, though. Not that the shame is Goyrim, the shame produces a certain result. But rather, when the parents give their child a name, even though, as the Medrash says, we don't have absolute Ruach HaKodesh, we don't necessarily know what this name will bring about, but when parents are naming children, it's just like a name that gets lodged in their head and you can't move them off of it. And they just agree to that name. So the Ari HaKodesh is quoted over here by Chaim Vital, Nakdam to the Shara Gilgulim, Ares Venim So Kikash, and they quote the same thing in the name of the Vilna Goin. Kikasher Noed HaAdam V'Karim Lo Ove V'Imo Shem Echad HaOlem B'Daitam. Whenever parents give a name that appears to them, it just seems it's pulling towards them. Ain't about cry. It's not by chance. It's Damen Kim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meisim B'Fiv HaShem Ahu HaMukrach El Neshama Hi. Kadosh Baruch Hu implants within their name, in their heads, a name that is appropriate for this child. V'chein Amur Chazal Shmo Gorim. That's what it means. Now, the language of the Gemara doesn't imply that way. The language of the Gemara implies that it's the name that causes the person to acquire a certain personality. Here, the Ari HaKodesh is telling us, no, it's just the opposite. It's a Ruach HaKodesh the parents have to give an appropriate name for their child. The problem with that is the following. Look back at the Gemara Brachos, Daf Zayin Beis. Well, the problem with that is, right, that's not the implication of the Gemara. The Gemara is Shmog Garam. The name causes it. We also have the Medrash that tells us we don't have Ruach HaKodesh anymore, so let's just name after parents, which implies we don't have any kind of Ruach HaKodesh. But even more than that, the Gemara says in Masechet Brachos, is my Rus. What was her name? Rus? What was the significance? And Rabbi Yochanan Shezachsa V'yasmi Imenu David Shariyuhu LaHaKodesh Baruch Hu B'Shiros L'Sishbachos. Because he's saying to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, B'Shiros. What's the last three letters of the word Shiros? Rus. So she contributed to enabling David to be able to sing Shiros, songs to Hashem. Who named Rus, though, Chevra? Who named Rus? Her father, probably. Rus was a Gioris. Was he Jewish or not Jewish? Not Jewish. So the non-Jewish parent of Rus had Ruach HaKodesh to name her Rus? Okay. Maritzchia says, not possible. Maritzchia on that Gemara says, must be. There is no Ruach HaKodesh when you give the name. The name caused Rus to have a child of David who would sing Shiros. But it's not that there was Ruach HaKodesh implanted in the head of her. Her father was not Jewish. So the truth of the matter is, there are many that claim, the Zohar HaKodesh, and Rus, that was not her birth name. Her real name was Gilis. Why was her name Gilis? And when she was not Jewish? Because she was from the Ammon, from the nation of Ammon and Moab, who were a product of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters, and which we refer to as Gilui Arayos. So she was the product of that relationship. She's referred to as Gilis. Moav is also Gematria 49, the 49th, right? The Tachlis of Gilui Arayos, the world most offensive kind of Gilui Arayos, a father and a daughter of a child together. And who came as a product of that? Rus, and therefore her name was Gilis. When she converted, she adopted a new name, as many converts do. They adopted a new name, and she adopted the name Rus. So maybe there was Ruach HaKodesh in adopting that name. One could also argue, what do you want to say about me?
What about Moshe
Rabbeinu? Ah, phenomenal. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Who gave Moshe Rabbeinu his name? Of course, it might have been, it sounds like from the Chumash, it was Basya or Bisya. The Chizkuni asks, 1 minute, why did she name him Moshe? Kimin Hamai Mishisihu, because I drew him from the water. How does she speak Hebrew all of a sudden? She was Egyptian. So Chizkuni says, well, maybe she studied. Or maybe Yocheved really named the child. Ah. Others say it was an Egyptian name. We don't have time to get into all that now, the derivative of the derivation of the name Moshe. But it sounds like, from the Chumash, that she is the one, Bisya Basya, however you want to pronounce her name, is the one who named Moshe Rabbeinu. How could it be? She had Ruach HaKodesh in naming Moshe Rabbeinu. So Chaim HaKodesh actually says, it's not that big of a kasha. There's nothing wrong. Why can't the Gentile father of Rus or Basya, the daughter of Paro, have Ruach HaKodesh in naming their children? And he says it's meduic like that in the pasuk, because what happens in Parshas Vayetze, subsequently throughout Bereshis, when all of the names are given, so there's a reason given. Hapami Yoveishi, a guy, she says, hopefully Levi will now have a relationship, Yaakovina will have a relationship with me, and therefore she named him Levi. Or Hapam Odes Hashem, therefore she named him Yehuda. Or Kira Hashem Asani, so therefore she names him Reuven. So the reason always precedes the name. Over here, with regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's just the opposite. The name precedes the reason. So look over here, the Rechaim HaKadosh notices this, in Oysud Beis, Vatikra Shema Moshe, she called him Moshe, Vatoymar, Kimin Amayim, Mishisihu. But throughout Bereshit, it's Koach Shomei Yitzchak Kuiva Tikrash Shmei Yitzchak V'Yadol Chesed Ve'Kevei Sav Yikrash Shmei Yaakov. First the reason, then the name. So Chaim HaKadosh explains because in when you're dealing with a Navi who has Ruach HaKadosh, they knew the reason. Then they provided the name. They saw with Ruach HaKadosh why we're giving this name. So then they give the appropriate name for the child. She didn't know why. She just knew the name popped into her head. Then the Torah tells us the reason. But of course, that is the same. It's also Ruach HaKadosh. Kimin Amayim Mishisihu. She didn't realize it at the time. She might not have spoken Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. It just popped into her head, that name. So too, every time, this might be the model for Rus also. Her father, even if he was not necessarily Jewish, that popped into his head, such a name. And of course, it had significance. And therefore, that would be the model for us today also. Parents, even though we don't have a time of Ruach HaKodesh, where we have clear understanding of why this name was chosen, but it's not so difficult to suggest that perhaps the name was implanted in the heads of the parents because it's an appropriate name corresponding to this child's ultimate contribution. But however you view it, right? You could view it as the name produces a certain result. You could view it as the name is a reflection of a person, not that it causes a person to go down a certain path, but it's a reflection of the path they're already on or the contribution that they're ultimately supposed to make. Either way, this is not a foregone conclusion, right? It's not inevitable. Even if a person is given a negative name, that he will be a bad guy. The Medrash Tanhuma, says over here, makes this point in Parashat Shlach, that there are many people who have wonderful names who are really bad people. Like who? Like Yishmael. What a wonderful name. Shamakel. It's a great name, Yishmael. Or Esav. Ki Oysa Ritzon Esav. He wanted to do the will of his creator. Oh, a holy name. Gevaldik. Yet, even though they're beautiful names, Masehim Ku'urim. Their actions were ugly. And so too says the Medrash, many people have ugly names, right, who imply something negative, but they could be Maseim Noim. They could be wonderful, wonderful people. So a name doesn't necessarily make it a foregone conclusion that a person will turn out in a certain way. That's why the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, that's a classical commentary on Masechtas Yuma, the same author as the Kapos Tamar, Masechtas Sukkah, the Yom Teruah, Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. So he comments in that Gemara, look back at Oy's test, Rabbi Meir met Kidor. He said, Oy, Kidor, Kidor Tapuchos Heima, Erez Gvena Rosha. What about the other Tanoim? They didn't darshan the names. Why not? So Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says, because a name doesn't make it a foregone conclusion, even if the guy has an unfortunate name, which alludes to the buzzer, Kidor Tapuchos Heima. How do you know? Maybe it is, maybe is it. It's not a foregone conclusion that way. Rabbi Meir was jumping to conclusions, and they said, why are you jumping to such conclusions? Even though the name doesn't imply that, such a name might produce a person like that, it's more likely, but it doesn't necessarily make it a foregone conclusion, therefore they refuse to speculate in that fashion. So what then is the significance of a name? Significance of a name is very great. It points a person in a certain direction. It gives you a head start towards leading a life. If your name is Noeh, your Meisim will be Noem too. And that was the conclusion that Rabbi Meir drew. So if a person has an ugly name, presumably his actions will be ugly. It's not. You have Bechira to overcome that. But therefore, you have to be very careful in giving these names because you are instilling within the child either through Ruach HaKodesh or actively by giving such a name, instilling within the child a certain proclivity, a certain tendency that the child will receive at the beginning of his life. So the Magid Meishar makes this point, that's the Beis Yosef's commentary on Parashat Shmos, over here, Oysu Dalin, that if you gave the name Avram, the person will more likely be a Baal Chesed. If you give the name Yosef, he'll more likely be a person who is great, likely to be being a tzaddik, and though a person will be interested in providing for the rest of the Jewish people, like Yosef took care of everybody else. Person is the name of Yehuda, will be an honest person, will be Mado Emes, could be a Gibor, be a leader. All the different names. Yaakov, he's more likely to be a Talmud Chacham. You're implanting within the child, says the Beis Yosef, a netiyah, a tendency, an instinctive proclivity towards a certain way of conducting himself. But of course, it's not a foregone conclusion. You could have a certain name, be a terrible guy. You could be Avram, right, and be a Rasha. It's up to you, but it points the child in a certain direction. There's this book, Freakonomics. So in the book, I think it's immensely popular, my son loves it, but in the book Freakonomics, they tell a maisa with this guy, Robert Lane. who named in the 50s, who performed an experiment on his child and his own children, which is never a good idea.
Yeah.
But he named one child winner and one child loser. You know this. And the loser ended up being like a really upstanding citizen. I think he was even a police officer, a captain or something. And the guy named winner ended up as a criminal, you know, repeatedly in jail. So you see that the name doesn't determine ultimately the outcome. In fact, I would suggest by putting such pressure on the children to be a winner, to be a loser, that's exactly what prompted them to go in the other direction. But you see a name affects a child. Right? You see the name affected them. The name affects a child, and therefore it's not a foregone conclusion, but certainly you're pointing a child in one direction or the other, and therefore you have to be careful when giving such a name. And I think that's why perhaps it doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't mean it's not significant. It means you want to do something helpful for your child, give him a good name. You want to do something that puts your child at a disadvantage, they give him a bad name. But there are certain limitations here, which the Gemara seems to impose. Again, none of them appear in Shulchan Aruch. Again, I think these are just, why would you put your child behind the eight ball when he's first born? You might as well be careful in giving the name. Of course, a very sensitive thing. You're setting the child in a certain path in life, so you should be careful how you do so. So the Gemara says, though, over here in Masechtas, Yuma Lamechesim Abeis, because the name really points the child in a certain direction, you should not name me after a Rosha. The Pasuk says, and say, for Mishle, V'shem Yishoim Yirkov. The name of a Rosha should rot away. So much so, we don't even like mentioning the name of a Rosha at all. In fact, the Kaf HaChaim, and so Chaim Palagi, would never refer to any of his writings, refer to Parshas Korach as Parshas Korach. Called it Parshas Ben Levi. Why do we have to say Korach? But it's not even Chaim Palagi. In the tour on Chumash, on Parshas Pinchas, when the Chumash refers to one of the families in Shevet Levi as Mishpachas HaKarchi, the tour protests. He said, what are we calling them? Mishpachas HaKarchi. What do you have to mention Korach for? Shouldn't mention them. We shouldn't mention the name of Arusha. Why not? Because that represents their core essence, their mission. We don't want to give it any substance. We don't want to mention it at all. That's who they were. They're not longer here. Why can't we mention it? Because we don't want to give any chiyus, any mention, any credibility to their mission in life, which is represented by a person's name. So therefore, even if you mention Rishoyim, already says in the Apostle can say for Tehillim, you're supposed to say Yimach Shemoy. We hope his name will be erased. What does it mean his name will be erased? We don't care about shout-outs. The answer is because his name represents his essence, and we hope that the essence has no attraction. So certainly, therefore, you should not name your child after a Rasha. And that's what the Gemara comments. Shame, Mishraim, Yerkov, what does that mean? To go maskinon b'shmayu. Should not give the name of a Rasha to a child. Doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Again, you want to do it, do it. It's not usher, but you're setting up your child for failure. Why would you do that? The Taisus and the Ritva already have a few exceptions to this. Taisus already notes that if the name is changed slightly, it's no longer exactly the same name, then it doesn't apply. So Taisus says, Avshalom. The Gemara says, in Sanhedrin has no chelek in Olam Haba. So you shouldn't give the name Avshalom. But if it's Avishalom, that's a separate name, that's permitted. Or along the same lines of not giving the name of Rasha, says in Sefer Chassidim, you're not supposed to name after someone who died prematurely. What's called prematurely? So Ramayisha says 50s. Some say 52, because Shmuel and Shlomo HaMelech died at the age of 52. And we named after Shmuel HaNavi, we named after Shlomo HaMelech, so clearly that's not prematurely. Some say, no, anybody before 60. Ramayisha writes in the Igros Ramayisha, it depends. If a person lived, you know, died prematurely, he didn't get to, you know, live a complete life, however you want to define it, then you shouldn't name after him. If he did, you can name after him. Or a person lived a tragic life, he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. So you're not supposed to name after him. He lived a tragic life. So therefore, Yamshe Shlomo writes, we shouldn't name a child Yishayahu, because Yishayahu was killed, Al-Kiddush Hashem. Or, you shouldn't name a child Akiva, and spelled with an Aleph. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva was killed, he died in his 80s, but he was killed, Al-Kiddush Hashem. So you shouldn't name a child Akiva. In fact, the Or Zeruah, why is he called the Sefer Or Zeruah? One of the great Rishonim. Calls it Sefer Orza. I think the Rebbe in the Marami Ruhmberg. Why does he call it Sefer Orza Ruah? Because he writes there in the beginning, he had a dream about how to spell the name Akiva with an Aleph or with a Hey. Both are possibilities appear in Shulchan Aruch. So he says he has a dream. Or, the last letter is Resh, Zaruah, last letter is Ayin. But Or Zaruah, God Tzadik, Uyishrei Lev, Simcha, spells out the last letter of each word, spells out Reb Akiva. but Akiva spelled with a hey. Simcha ends with a hey, not with an alpha. So you see, you're supposed to spell Akiva with a hey. But that's not how Rebbe Akiva spelled it. He spelled it with an aleph. Ah, why would you change the name? Because Rebbe Akiva died al Kiddush Hashem. We don't want to have to name a child who died after a person who died tragically. Of course, there were those who didn't believe in this to that degree. The Chazon Ish's name was Avram Yishayahu, the Dafka with a Vav. Rebbe Moshe says you should name the child Yishaya, but the Chazon Ish's name was Yishayahu. Rebbe Akiva Eger spelled his name Akiva with an Aleph. And certainly we name after many people who died during the Shoah. No one ever questioned the doing so, even though many of them died tragically. So, you know, whether how far to take that is up to him. Many people are not careful about it. So when it comes to the name Yeshaya, there are certain people who will name Yeshaya, not Yeshayahu. But I've never, you know, in our circles, I've never heard anyone naming Akiva with a hey. Yeah, we will name Akiva with an aleph. We're not as concerned. Even about naming someone who died prematurely, if the Reb Chaim Kanievsky said if there's a parent, of course you can name after a parent no matter what. But, you know, okay, all of these things, why? Why? Because, again, the name affects the child. But if you change the name slightly, Yeshaya instead of Yeshayahu, Akiva with a hey instead of with an aleph, oh, it's a different name now. And therefore, all of a sudden, it's the same restrictions would not apply. So too, says Tarsus, if the name is Avishalom as opposed to Avshalom, then that's what doesn't have to be as concerned. Then Tarsus goes on to say, if a person had there were two people with this name. Like he discusses the name Shevna. Shevna was a Rasha, but there was also a person who appears in the Gemara named Shevna. Asked Tosis, how could his name be Shevna? He says, it must be there were two Shevnas. There was one who was a Tzaddik, one who was a Rasha. And you have to say like that. Let's say a person's name is Avram. You don't think there was once ever in the history of the world an Avram who was a Rasha? Ah, V'shem Yisham Yerkov, you can't name him after Avram. You can't name him after Moshe. What? Moshe, what? But I'm sure there was a Moshe, somebody who was a Rasha. So how can you give the name Moshe? The answer is because there's someone much more famous whose name was Moshe also, and there's someone who's much more famous whose name was Avram also. So you can give that name. You can give that name because I have in mind the Tzaddik. So let's say this comes up all the time. A person has relatives who are not religious, grandparents, and there's pressure to name from his parents, there's pressure to name after the non-religious grandparent. They might have been wonderful people, philanthropists, lovers of the state of Israel, but if they're not Shomer Torah and Mitzvot, they're not ideal candidates to name after them. So what are you supposed to do? So Sternbach writes in the Chuvas van Hoges, but already many others say this on their own, is that, you know, sometimes the grandfather's name is, Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman. So, okay, I don't have to name after Shlomo Zalman, the grandfather. I have in mind of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Or the name could be, Avraham Moshe, Yaakov Moshe, whatever the name is. There are always tzaddikim with such a similar name. So you name after the tzaddik who had that name and not after the grandparent. Or if there really isn't the tzaddik, it's an unusual name, you change the name slightly. And if you change the name slightly, it's no longer the same name anymore, and therefore you wouldn't have a problem of V'shem Yisroel Yerkov that you don't want to name after someone who's not an ideal role model for this child. So you adjust the name, or if there's someone else with that name and you have that in mind when you give the name, all of that, you would avoid all of those problems by doing that. The Ritva also asked, one second, but we have in the Gemara Rabbi Yishmael. Ah, how can you name after Yishmael? So Ritva says, well, he says, Yishmael the Tshuva later on. Okay. And he says, Yishmael was named by Hashem. Any name Hashem gives, we can evoke too. Even though I've never heard of anybody in our circles named Yishmael. I've never heard of that name. But in the Gemara, you find this. The Ritva says the name Yishmael would be a fair name. What if you add a name? Well, you want to avoid B'Shem Yishom Yerkov, so we'll add a name. Instead of being Yaakov, or instead of saying it's a weird name, I don't know, Five-ish or something. So we're going to, I don't know, can't think of a Five-ish who is a Tzaddik. I'm sure there are. So we'll add another name. If you add another name, is that a different name, or is that the name of the Rasha plus another name? Are two names one plus one? Or are two names, something else? It's not A, it's not B, it's C. Meaning there's Yaakov, that's A, there's Moshe, there's B, and Yaakov Moshe is C. It's not A and B. It's C. It's a whole different name. So Noidim Yehudim Lechsam Sefer note that we never find throughout the Chumash people with two names. They both suggest we never find throughout the Gemara anybody with two names. Of course, there's, you find sometimes surnames like or introductions like Mar, this, or Abba, that. But you rarely find someone with, there is one. There's one. I think Yaakov Yosef or something. But you find one, Yaakov Yisrael. You find one. But they try and get around it. So you don't really find it in the Gemara. They're not opposed to it necessarily, but you don't find it in the Gemara. They're making that point. It is something that is more of a recent vintage. But when you give two names, what is the status of those two names? Is that one plus one? Are they the two names, or they become a third name? So they quote in the name of Blazer Silver that he had a Raya that it's one, a new name. Yaakov Moshe is not Yaakov or Moshe, it's Yaakov Moshe. How do you know? Because the Pasuk's brilliant. The Pasuk says in Parashas Matos, when they arrived at the Eivar Yarden, so Yair, the son of Menashe, called the city where he settled Chavos Yair, after himself. The villages of Yair. So the Pasuk says, okay, so the city was known as Chavos Yair. Novach, another one of his siblings, brothers, or whatever, called a city after himself also, Novach. He didn't call it Chavos, he called it Novach. Not Chavos Novach, or Ir Novach. He called it Novach. So the Pasuk says, Vayikra lo Novach, Bishmo, after him, when it comes to Chavos Yair, the Pasuk says, Vayikra lo Chavos Yair. Doesn't say Bishmo, doesn't say after him. So said Reb Leizer Silver, it's only considered to be naming after you if it's the exact same name. If the name is adjusted at all, you add something else, Chavos Yair, that's not the same name as Yair anymore, it's a whole separate name. So one could avoid then, naming after Rishoyim, or you have a relative, and you don't want, it wasn't an ideal candidate as a role model for the child, so let's name, add a name, or something else. And we won't have in mind the grandparents, it'll be a whole new name. And this is relevant also. Chazon Ish also held the two names together, a whole new name, and that's relevant for people who are careful for the Tzavar, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, not to marry a girl who has the same name as one's mother. It says in Tzavar, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, not to do that. I know a guy here, tragic. For 10 years, he was dating this woman, and she had the same name as his mother. He was going back and forth and back and forth. Oh, mama, anyway, they were single for years because they couldn't figure out a way around this. But whatever. But there are those who are careful about that. That's the Tzavar Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. There are those who are not as careful about the items mentioned in Tzavar Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. They feel that it was only meant for his family because some of them are against the Gemara. Some of them are, we shouldn't have the name Shmuel is in the Tzavar Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, which clearly was only meant for his family. Anyway, a kid's a ma'aseh without getting involved in the whole Tzavar Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. But there are those who are careful for that. But the poskim will say, if let's say the wife or potential wife, the kala, has one name, and the mother has, let's say her name is Sarah, and the mother's name is Sarah Rivka or Sarah Leah, so that's a whole new name. It's not the same name anymore if she's known as Sarah Leah. If they're both known as Sarah, that's a chazanish, not so quick. But if one is known as Sarah Leah, or one is known as Suri, and the other one is known as as Sarah, so then a whole separate thing, two separate names, one doesn't have to be concerned. The problem, though, is there seem to be some indications that that's not the case. That it really is 1 plus 1. It's Yaakov Moshe, is Yaakov and Moshe. How do you know? Because the Yamshu Shlomo has like this. Yamshu Shlomo said, Shlomo Luria was a contemporary of the Ramah, had one of his parents' names, who he wanted to name his child after, was Meir. The other was Uri. So he couldn't figure out what to do. So he came with a Gavaldical solution. He said, well, name him Shneir. Shnei-R. Meir means R, Uri means R, Shnei R, that's where the name Shneir came from. Oh, yeah, that's not the same name. How is he fulfilling anything? Or, the Daz Akenemi Baal Yatayzah says over here, Oysir Ches, that Yosef called his son Ephraim, Ki Ephraim will be our son. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, help me be productive in the land of my affliction. However, the Daz Akenemi Baal Yatayzah says, no, he named him Ephraim because it was after his father, Yitzchak, who the Efer of the Akedah Yitzchak sits underneath him, is Beach. Which, right, after they brought the carbon in place of Yitzchak, there was ash. And Avraham Avinu says about himself, Anochi Ofar Va'efer. So there were two Efers, his father, his grandfather. He wanted to give his son such a similar name. No, I'm sorry, his grandfather and his great-grandfather, Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu. So Yosef named his son Ephraim, two Efers. Yeah, it's an entirely different name. So don't you see from here that if you, or they say in the name of the, that when the Chazon Ish passed away, the Steipur told Reb Chaim Kanievsky to name his daughter Elisheva. That's what it says in the book of names from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. To name her Elisheva because it has similar letters to the name Avram Yeshaya, the names of the Chazon Ish. Yeah, but it's not the same name. First of all, jump genders, right, which is a whole other thing. But it's obviously not the same name. So I think what's going on over here is that, yes, halachically, it's not considered to be the same name. There's a remez, right? Yes, it makes people feel good. Maybe there is some connection loosely to the individual. Is it to the same degree that you're endowing the child with all the capabilities that naming him after a great tzaddik involves? Or are you tapping into the full potential of the name? No. But I think it accomplishes something. So I think it will avoid the problem of Hashem Yisham Yirkov, you're not naming after that individual and all that that entails, if the person is not its ideal role model for to be named after. But it's not nothing. You know, there's some zecher to the name, even though it's not an exact replica or duplicate of the name. They say over the name of Chaim Kanievsky, this is one of his most famous things, is that you're not supposed to give children new names. You have parents, everyone wants to be creative and show that they're Bucky and Gantz Tanakh or whatever. And, you know, everyone wants to give new names. So Chaim Kanievsky apparently is opposed to, unless it's found that Tanakh was a name that was traditionally used, he's opposed to new names. So there's a halacha component to that, right? There's a, the Medrash says, the beginning of Parashat Shmos, L'nigu Yisrael, we were only redeemed in this course of Shaloshinu Hashemam. We didn't change our names when we entered into Mitzrayim. So the Maharam Shik says, you see from here that the Jew has to have a Jewish name. He can't have a name that was not traditionally a Jewish name. Yeah.
What if your deceased relative had a
name? 1 second again. So let's say it's not a Jewish name. So the Maharam Shik says, no, you're not allowed to take a secular name because you have to have Jewish names. Otherwise, the Nisar of Chukas Akam. So many disagreed with the Maharam Shik. That was true in the times when we entered into Mitzrayim. The only thing that preserved us as a nation and prevented us from assimilating to Egyptian culture was our Jewish names. We didn't have a Torah yet. All we had was a culture. So then names were critical. However, Rav Moshe already writes in the Gros Moshe, the Maharal implies like this in the Gevuras Hashem, that later on, Kaiser became identified by the Torah. It's the mitzvahs of the Torah that prevent us from assimilating. Names are much less significant, therefore. And Rav Moshe says we find throughout the Gemara, people had different names. You had Rav Papa, Mar Zutra, Rav Ashi, Shlokish, all these names, these are not Jewish names. Maimon, this is not a Jewish name. These were secular names. And obviously they adopted these names, which are certainly not only were they new names with Hebrew derivations, they were secular names in Gansen. So you see, how could Rav Moshe claims it's not a problem of Chukas Akum. Meikar Adin is permitted. But yeah, Rav Moshe also at the end says, it's not obligated Medina of Amen Yonah Zahiru Sumusar, one should do it. You should have a Jewish name. You should have a Jewish name. Even when people convert, we usually encourage the geir. It's not obligated to take a new name. You can keep your name Albert or Boris or whatever you want. Sheila. You can have such a name. Pauline. These are all fine names. But if when a person converts, they typically adopt a Jewish name. Is it obligated to do so? No. Maharam Shik argued it is. Maharam Shik even said last names have to be Jewish. That's why he changed his last name when they were adopting last names. He took Shik. Shem Yisrael Kodesh. He had to have a Jewish last name. Oh, wow, that's... But we don't assume it's not obligated to have a Jewish name, necessarily, but it's advisable. Why? Why is it advisable? Why is Chaim Kanievsky opposed to new names? They asked him, look in the Gemara, you find people with all these different kinds of names. Yiddish names. What about all the Yiddish names from the past? All these names are not Jewish names. So what's going on here? So I believe what Reb Chaim means. And Reb Chaim said, yeah, but that was in their generation. We can't do it in ours. Well, I don't know what he means by that. What I think he means by that is the following. What I think he means by that is, and that's why Rav Moshe recommends, even though it's not chayv, you're not obligated to have a Jewish name, Ikar Adin, like you enter into French class, they give you a French name, you enter into Hebrew class, and they give you a Hebrew name. But there is a significance to having a Jewish name, Uncle Moshe notwithstanding, right? And what is this significance? I believe the significance is, as we explained already, a name points a child in a certain direction. Minolan d'shmagarim, it encourages, it pushes, either through Ruach HaKodesh or the name itself is what pushes a child in a certain direction. So if you give a child a good name, Avram, he's starting out, with a head start in life, right? It's like a trust fund of Ruchnius that you're giving the child. Why would you not want to give your child a trust fund of Ruchnius? So if it's a new name, you're starting from scratch. There's nothing wrong with giving a new name per se, but you're starting the child to create his own legacy with this new name that you created, on your own because you found it online in popular and creative names. That's not, you're not giving the child the head start that he could have. And the name reflects the, now the child could turn out fine. Wonderful. You never know. Even the Nimrod could be a tzaddik, who knows, in Rosh Hashiva. But you're giving the child a hurdle that he has to overcome. Why would you do that? And therefore it's severely discouraged. And even having a secular name, nothing necessarily wrong with being Sheila Bas Pauline, but why would you not give the person a head start? And when a person converts, take a head start by having a Jewish name. So that's what the Jewish name does. It propels you forward. So if that's the case, my understanding of Prime is accurate. So then I think if you're naming after someone who already has a Yiddish name, yes, you're right, it was new and they took it, But I'm naming after a Yiddish name already. But that I'm tapping in, and that person is an ideal role model to be named after. I'm tapping into the Ruchnias, which they represent, and all the things that they accomplished. So too, if I'm naming after a relative who already has, you know, the new name is already being integrated, so they ask Reb Chaim, what's the difference? Their name is new, you're right. But they're not starting from scratch. Why would you want to start from scratch? You might as well build on top of the foundations already been laid by other people. So I think that's why he feels it's advisable not to have new names, but rather to build upon the foundations of the past. But either way, whatever name a person has, it's always important to bear in mind this Medrash Tanachuma Parshas Vayakeh, where the Medrash says every person is given three names. The name his parents give him, the name that he acquires with his friends, meaning the nickname that his friends give him, and then the name that he acquires for himself. And of course, that's the most important name. As the Medrash Mishnah says, Masechtas Avos, Halo Gabeim is the Keser Shem Toiv. Or the Pasuk says, Toiv Shem Yishem and Toiv, Pasuk in Sefer Koheles, Toiv Shem Yishem and Toiv, V'yom HaMavis M'yom Hivaldo. That a good name is better than good oil, and the day that you're born is better than the day that a person dies is better than the day that he's born. What is it? What does one have to do with the other? So everyone explains that it's because Shemen is what's used to anoint the Kohanim when they take over the role of their father and doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Shemen represents that which you receive from your parents. That was the anointing oil to take over the role of the father. So Toiv Shem, Mi Shemen Toiv. What I accomplish on my own is better than what I'm given by my parents. V'yom Himoves, Miyom Hivaldo. And the day that a person dies is better than the day that he was born. And the day that he's born, his parents give him a name. On the day, usually reflecting themselves, on the day that he dies, everyone knows about his accomplishments. He's made a name for himself. And that, of course, is the name that's much more important. So whatever name a person has, names are very important. They should never be taken lightly. Whatever name a person has, he has to attempt to make the most of his personality and all of his talents and build a positive name, ultimately, for himself. Okay, bye-bye.